Hi, this is Dave Sedillo. Here with me now is Danny Williams. Welcome to the podcast.
Dr. Sleepwalk and Captain Buzzbot to replay locomotive. Motive, 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 motive.
Check, check. We are back.
Mic check.
Jenny and I were going to a birthday party for some twin boys that I used to babysit when they were two, and they've got every toy under the sun, and we didn't have any, we couldn't afford to buy them a toy, but I remembered these little custom paper toys, and yeah, they looked at them like I was bringing them, I don't know, something very weird, but they liked them a lot, Nathan and Alex.
That's right. And how old are they now?
They are now 8 years old.
8 years old.
It's hard to believe, you know. One time I was an unemployed babysitter, and they were two, and now I'm tri-vocational, and they're eight. So, world keeps turning.
The world does keep turning. Once upon a time, I was babysitted, so...
Babysat?
Babysat.
Do you remember your babysitter?
This is actually a really good... I do remember my babysitter.
All right.
We had multiple babysitters, but we had one that I remember, her name was Carrie, and she was a very beautiful blonde, young lady.
She didn't look like Sissy Spacek?
She did not look like Sissy Spacek.
That's a good thing.
I don't know of anyone on the planet besides Sissy Spacek who looks like Sissy Spacek, and I feel like the world is a better place because of it.
Carrie. A new film by Brian De Palma, starring Sissy Spacek, Piper Laurie, and introducing John Travolta in his first motion picture role.
Sorry, Sissy, if you're listening.
Yeah, we know you're...
I know you're out
you're
there.
You're truly hurt by this.
Yeah, she was this beautiful young lady who babysat my sister and myself. And I just remember I was a young man of anywhere from... 6 to 9 years old at the time that we lived there, and I was just so just enamored by Carrie. I just thought she was just the best thing that happened in the world. That's the first time I experienced true love, is when Carrie came over to babysit.
That sounds about right from the age that you're telling me.
Yeah. It was an infatuation, and she's the only woman I ever saw or knew that wasn't a teacher or my mom. So it was just like, this was the first time I thought that women could be awesome, you know? And so I'm looking at her and I'm just thinking, okay, yeah, I'll just get older and this will work out. She'll stay the same. I'll get older. We'll be happily ever after. That's it. I think there's at least half a dozen Disney movies about, you know, babysitters and babysats who grew up to be happily ever after. So this is what I'm thinking. And I remember one time after, you know, an afternoon of her sitting, my parents...
she's sitting. So she's she sitting. Really was the babysitter.
I mean sitting in the babysitting sense. I mean, we did more than sit around, but she would take us to the batting cages, to the movies.
And she would sit.
And sit. It was like a romantic comedy, but for a 15-year-old girl and two... two young children.
She never brought a boyfriend or anything like this?
She not once... brought a boyfriend with her. The only time she ever brought a boy, she would bring her younger brother because he was closer to our age.
Okay.
But she never brought another boy around because I think she...
She knew.
She knew, and I kind of feel like she felt the same way. I mean, I know she felt the same way. Anyway, so after she babysat us, you know, for the afternoon, my parents come home, and we're all... She hadn't left the house yet, you know. My parents were getting ready to pay her the, you know, $3.75 an hour that they pay babysitters, and...
If they fixed
us a meal, they could get $4, you know. And so we're all sitting in the living room and sitting around just sharing stories. And I'm not saying much because I'm a young man and I'm just, you know, staring at Carrie, just waiting for her to, you know,
staring at her eyes, I hope.
Staring at her. Well, I was a young man as far as the only thing I remember is her face. So
okay,
that's probably
that's good.
Pretty good.
That's good.
My dad... then proceeds to tell Carrie a wonderful story of about how a couple years prior, when I was a younger man, my dad had taken me fishing. And I caught my very first fish, And instead of being like really overjoyed and feeling like I had conquered nature, I saw the fish dangling on the end of this hook, and I'm thinking, oh God, this fish is going to die. And all I could do was cry and cry and cry. I didn't want to look at the fish. I resented my dad for bringing me there. Like, I hated hooks. So my dad was like, it's fine. We'll throw it back. You know, so we threw the fish back. And
so
and
first the real bad thing happens, and you don't like dad then because he's a mass fish murderer.
Right. I'm just
And then that night he brings up this story again, and obviously somebody who's there you want to impress, and dad's batting 0-for-2.
Right. So the story should have gone, yes. My dad should have said, yes, Danny and I went fishing. He caught a, you know, 2-ton marlin, you know, and he boated that thing himself. He gutted it with his bare hands and his teeth.
His blisters were bleeding.
You know what I mean? He didn't use a rod or a reel. He just had string in his bare hands. But instead, the story was Danny caught a 4-inch tiny non-fish.
a crappie junior,
I think would be the best way to describe this fish. And then cry as though, you know, my dog had just died.
Some other little boy's pet fish got caught at the end of your hook.
Right, and I'm just mortified, just staring at Carrie. And I'm looking at my dad like, I remember being a young man looking at my dad, hoping he would get the impression like, don't tell this story. Do not tell this story. She's not going to. I'm making this woman my wife. I need her to respect me.
Your mental telepathic powers had not advanced at that age.
Yes, they have since developed, but at the time
they're much better now.
So, and I mean, I just, you know, being, you know, a pouty little boy, I just ran out of the room, and I blame that situation for why Carrie and I didn't work out. I mean, I've since moved on. She's since gotten married to another man, and I've accepted that. But
does she have like a normal family? Does she have kids?
You know, last I heard, she was getting married. I don't know if she has kids. I would assume she's okay. Got the regular American dream now. only I like to think it's only 97% fulfilling, because that 3% of what she could have had is still,
she knows
it's hovering over her. I think.
Yeah.
I wonder if she's sorry for leaving what we'd begun. There's someone for me somewhere, and I still miss someone.
In the second part of the show, Dave is the babysitter and Mojo pays a visit.
I never got over those blue eyes.
But no, my favorite babysitter story is the two boys that I babysat, the ones that I made the custom paper toys for, Nathan and Alex. They were two, and I remember looking out the window at my friend's house, because I was babysitting them at their house, and the trash man stops by, and I don't know, I was just feeling kind of mischievous, and I said, hey, boys. I said, who is that out there? And of course, they knew it was the trash man, and they told me. And then I said, "Well, is he picking up trash or is he leaving it?" I just wanted to see if they would get the joke. And they looked and they kind of smiled and they said, "He's picking it up." And I said, "That's right. You know where he's taking that trash?" And I was just making this up as I went along. And they said, "No," because her parents had not informed them about the dump. And I said, but I didn't tell them about the dump either. I said, no, he's taking that trash to the North Pole. And they looked at me, and I knew at that point they're either going to start crying or laughing. And thankfully, they started laughing. And I said, that's right. And they're going to come back at Christmas time, and you're going to have some toys. And, yeah, this is the part where the grown-ups are just like, what in God's name made these people think that you would be a good babysitter, Dave? But the kids were happy. I was happy. I figured, okay, if I can throw weird stuff out like that, this is going to be a fun gig. So, yeah, they called me many times after that to be the babysitter, and I would tell them weird stories like that, or, you know, we'd throw a tennis ball around the house, or, you know, things that hopefully wouldn't break, you know, valuable pieces of furniture. And for the most part, it was pretty good, and they wanted to pay me for it too. I didn't want to take their money, but I eventually caved.
That's it's funny how that happens.
Yeah. Money changes everything.
Money does.
Sing it, everything. Danny.
Oh, I was sinking. I was sinking Pink Floyd. I think that was exactly. I was sinking it, actually.
Hey, yes. What have you had to drink? just coffee,
took,
right?
I just took Pink Floyd and I sunk it. Yeah. Yeah. So, do they still ask you about the just?
You know, the kids never talk to him about the garbage truck Santa, but they do remember the Lego elevator that we created, which was. A Lego shoved in a piece of the recliner where the cushions meet. And Legos, you know, will have two buttons on them. So you could push one button, but you then have to make the elevator yourself. So we push it. If I pushed the bottom button on the Lego, then I would have to go, and my whole body would lower. And the boys just thought this was great. So they wanted to come over and ride the elevator. So then we would push the buttons and would make the sounds. We'd either go, you know, raise up slowly or side to side, you know, as if an elevator could be on a conveyor belt and go left or right.
What about, what do you think, Mojo?
Mojo is, he was pretty vocal this morning. I doubt he's going to say anything into the mic. We'll see. Now he just wants to sniff it. Now I got to. Mojo's my cat.
Cat is code for great-great uncle who has an affinity for bourbon and backwoods cigars. He doesn't say much, but as far as we know, he is still breathing. So
he makes his presence known. If there's a sunny spot on the floor, he'll find it. And
Mojo is actually short for Maurice Johnson.
Yes, he does speak of the pompousness of love. Some people call me Maurice. Because I
speak of the pompousness of love. Well, that's a wrap. Thanks for listening.